Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down? Or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? It is written, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. It is written, for that Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Brethren, my heart's desire and supplication for them is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to every one that believeth. Give us a militant spirit, Lord. Come set our spirits on fire. Give us a passion to share the word. Give us consuming desire. Give us a flaming and burning zeal, moving us forward and on. Help us the urgency, Lord, to feel till greater victory is won. Help, dear Lord, all to volunteer. Time, talents, service, and all. Burnout, indifference, sloth, and fear, challenge us with thy call. Give us a spirit of sacrifice. Help us to learn how to give. Help us to love and forget the price. Unselfishly, help us live. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message on Romans chapter 10. 10 questions on Romans chapter 10.
For God is just a prayer away.
Romans chapter 10 has 10 questions. Paul said, his heart's desire and supplication for Israel is that they might be saved. If his prayer was what they might be saved, then in their present condition they must have been lost. To some it might sound as if Paul was hard-hearted. And if any man had a right to be hard-hearted, it might have been Paul. When he became an apostle of the Lord at Damascus, these people he was praying for had tried to kill him. They watched the gates day and night to do him in. His disciples let him down through the wall, lowering him in a basket. His escape did not take place on Monday evening. Had it been on Monday evening, the ropes and basket squad would not have showed up. That is when they televised the Monday night football game. If the escape had been on the docket for Monday night, the members of the ropes and basket squad would have stayed home to watch, and Paul would have had it. In that basket that night was hanging the history of hundreds of churches and 100 chapters of the New Testament. God was depending on the ropes and basket squad. Praise God for the ropes and basket squad. Every congregation needs to have one. The names of these men are not given. Their names may not have been printed in the next Sunday's church bulletin, but God knew who they were. And someday they will all be known in heaven as the ropes and basket squad. And remember, there was no stretch limousine outside that wall that night to whisk him away to a non-existent Damascus International Airport. He had to flee by foot, or at best by valet donkey, waiting for him in the bushes as he came down from the side of the wall. Now, here is a list of 10 questions of Romans chapter 10. Number 1, who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down? This was the same question they asked when the Lord was on the cross. Come on down, and we will believe on you. Man can blast off from Cape Canaveral and go to the moon and bring back rocks, but he cannot blast off from Cape Calvary and go to the third heaven and bring back the Rock of Ages. Jesus has already descended from heaven, and when he was born of the Virgin, died on the cross, arose from the dead, ascended back to heaven, and he will descend again in his own good time, and there is nothing we can do to bring him down again. In fact, if those who said bring him down really believed and really believe what they thought, the descent of Jesus from heaven is the last thing they would want to happen. He descended the first time as the Savior. The next time he will descend as the Judge. At his next descent, Paul tells us that every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him. Question number 2. Who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? Some are always wanting people to come back from the dead. Some get their kicks by the reincarnation route, and some get their jollies by having death experiences. One man who was a member of a church where I was preaching told me he had died on the operating table, saw some beautiful lights, saw his body on the operating table, and then came back to life. They all tell the same stories. They see bright lights, and everybody is enjoying himself or herself. Since Jesus said that many enter in through the broad gate, I am prone to think if anybody ever came back screaming and telling how they saw their loved ones begging for a drop of water to cool their tongue, I might give some credence to their experience. Otherwise, it is probably just another ploy of the devil to make people think everybody will make it to heaven and nobody will ever go to hell. Paul says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. There is only one physical death to a customer. What benefit could there be in reincarnation? To come back in life, another life, and to be judged for the deeds done in multiple bodies. To be judged for the deeds done in one body will be enough for the sinner. No need to ask that question of Jesus. on the day of Pentecost, Peter referred to the prophecy, "Thou wilt not leave my soul unto Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Hades is the spirit world. Anyone who asks this question will go to Hades anyway, sooner or later, in person. But they will not find Jesus there. He has been there and gone. Been there, done that. Number 3. But what saith it? The answer Paul gives is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Nothing is said in this statement about repentance being required for baptism. Are we to say that repentance is not necessary? Evidently, confession and belief in this chapter do not stand alone. Repentance is mentioned in the second chapter of Acts, when Peter said that they who wanted to know what to do must repent. Some cannot understand why he also threw in baptism, with repentance, as one of the requirements for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why should Peter say such a thing like this to be a thorn in the side of people who like to pick and choose what terms they like or don't like? But since Peter said repentance and baptism should be done and blamed Jesus for it, he did say in the name of Jesus Christ, it was by his authority. I have no choice but to accept it at face value. Salvation then comes by believing, repentance, confession, and baptism. Number 4. How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? There is no way anyone can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if they have never heard of him. What about all of those heathen who have never heard of Jesus? What will God do with those who have never heard is the Lord's business. Regardless of what one may think, the fact is we are in no wise excused from our obligation to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to tell them that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Don't be concerned about a question that is God's business, and concentrate on the business at hand, namely the preaching of the gospel to every person in every country, everywhere, any time, anyhow, any way, any hour, by any means, and by all means. Number 5. How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? If I had never heard of Jesus and someone told me to believe on him, I would say, what am I to believe about him if I've never heard of him? It is not enough to tell someone to believe on Jesus if you don't tell him or her what to believe. That was the way it was with the Philippian jailer. Paul told the Philippian jailer to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Philippian jailer never heard of Jesus. He didn't know what to do to believe, what believe was. What was the jailer to believe? He did not know what to believe until Paul told him. So don't leave the jailhouse too soon. What did Paul tell him? Listen to Paul again. And they said unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And he brought them up into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved included hearing the word. Believing included repentance, indicated by his washing of their stripes. Repentance included taking them the same hour of the night and baptizing them. It is also included receiving the Holy Spirit, indicated by rejoicing greatly with all his house. And now question number 6. How shall they hear without a preacher? The big question about today is not how shall they hear without a preacher, but how shall they hear with a preacher? If we listen to preachers, we hear conflicting messages. Some say baptism can be done at the birth of a child. Some say you have to wait until you know personally what you are doing. Some say the baptism can be done by sprinkling or pouring, or some say by immersion, and that is the only way. Some say, although it should be done by immersion, that the immersion actually has nothing to do with salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, a gigantic meeting one time was in progress. 60,000 people had assembled. A great inspirational service had convened. Thousands of men were singing the songs of Zion. Truly a great spiritual experience. One preacher I know had volunteered to be one who would go forward and assist in guiding the converts to their salvation. He said he planned to tell those who came forward to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. He said when they found out what he was going to say, they told him he couldn't do it. Since he was only one preacher arrayed against hundreds of others, the natural conclusion is he must have been wrong, because everybody knows the majority is always right. The voice of the people is the voice of God. Or is it? The voice of the people could be the voice of the devil. How shall they hear without a preacher? It is a perplexing question. Perhaps we can find help by hearing the next question. Number 7. How shall they preach except they be sent? It appears, then, that it all depends on who sent the preacher. If all the preachers who think they are sent are really sent from God, it is a fair question to ask. Would God send one preacher to tell people to do one thing, and then another to tell them to do something else? Obviously, if God sends all preachers, then some preachers are preaching what God never sent them to preach, and some are singing what God never sent them to sing. Jesus told the apostles to pray the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into the harvest. How do we know which ones are sent? Look at the examples that we have in Holy Writ. One example is in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the road that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Here was a man that was being sent by the Lord. Find out what happened, and you will know what a God-sent man will preach. His text was from Isaiah, predicting the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip, we are told, preached unto him Jesus. If Philip stuck to his text, he preached the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he preached Jesus, the man who heard the sermon said, What doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip told him if he believed with all of his heart that he could do that. Then they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Apparently, a preacher cannot preach the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to an alien sinner without preaching, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is what happened when a man sent from God preaches the word. Question number 8. Lord, who hath believed our report? Is there any preacher at some time or other that has not asked that question? Lord, doesn't anybody believe it? Ladies and gentlemen, I have been on the radio for about 40 years. All kinds of questions have been asked. Some answers I could give and some I could not. But there is one important question that has only been asked twice in all of those years of my ministry. That question is, what must I do to be saved? Maybe the reason it is not asked is, what difference does it make? God is going to save everybody anyway. Perhaps they think it is all a matter of how you look at it. One way is as good as another. I find myself in a peculiar position. I'm always answering a question nobody is asking, and nobody wants to hear. But ladies and gentlemen, I shall continue to answer the question anyway. Question number 9. But I say, did they not all hear? The obvious answer, as far as Paul was concerned, yes, they have heard. He was speaking of his own race. Jesus had come unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. Before the lifetime of the apostles was over, the gospel had been preached to all the civilized world, which would have included all the places where his kinsmen lived. Yet he said, have they not heard? How about today? Have they not heard? Yes, people all over this planet have heard about Jesus. This ministry is one example in many. That tells how people have heard in many places, by radio and on the AM dial and shortwave, by website, on the computer, any place on planet Earth, and by email, people can hear. Indications of those who have heard have been received from Baghdad, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, India, Germany, Norway, England, Ireland, Scotland, South America, West Africa, Mexico and Canada, and many other places. Did they not hear? Some believe what they hear, and some want more information. Some don't believe. One writer from Norway tells us, he said, you freak me out. You are really sick, and I hope that you'll one day wake up and see how wrong you are. Start taking responsibility for your own actions. Do things for yourself and for those around you, not for some imaginary God. You are really scary. Oh, by the way, he said, I think this is really a good quote. Religion is opium for the people. That was said by Karl Marx. The writer of that message is right about one thing. If I had never heard the message of salvation, and after hearing it wrote that letter, that would indeed be scary. Did they not hear? And now, question number 10. Did they not know? One thing for sure, people today cannot plead ignorance. More people are more conversant with the Bible than it appears. Some may never have read the Bible. They may never have darkened the door of a church. For some, no Christian has ever entered their home and tried to lead them into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But they know more about God's Word than you might think, because there are at least four terms in God's Word that most everybody knows by heart from the Bible. One term they know is hell. If you are in the workaday world, the school-a-day world, the sports-a-day world, or any kind of a day world, you will hear the word hell several times every day. People tell everybody else to go there. I know one church board meeting where it was used, back in the days when $12,000 would have been a large yearly salary. A preacher hit the boys up for a raise from $10,000 to $12,000. There was some argument as to whether to pay him that much money or not. One of the deacons told me, he ended the argument by telling the others, hell, give him $12,000. Nobody in that church can plead ignorance about the existence of hell on the judgment day because that deacon told them there was one. The second religious term that all have heard is the word damn. You hear it every day. In those whatever it is a day world we're talking about, somebody is always damning somebody or something. Damn refers to damnation. Everybody knows about it. There can be no excuse on the judgment day about the heavy toll of the soul as far as sin is concerned. They certainly talk about it enough. Is there anyone, Bible or no Bible, church or no church, who hasn't heard of damnation? Have they not heard? The third term, religious word, people hear every day is Jesus Christ. You hear it used in private conversation, public conversation, in praise or profanity. People stub their toe and speak the name of Jesus. Did you ever see anyone stub their toe and mash their finger and holler, George Washington or Abraham Lincoln? No one can plead ignorance of the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of judgment. Most of the irreligious people talk about him every day. Hollywood loves to use the name of Jesus Christ as a byword. As much as they can, they work it into every sentence. Have they not heard? Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth religious word everybody knows and uses in the kingdom of Satan is the word God Himself. God's name is used as a byword. Every day somebody tells oh my God, oh my God. If a friend has died, they say, oh my God. If a friend has lost his job, they say, oh my God. Everything that happens, they say, oh my God, oh my God. Maybe they say it in prayer, but they sound like profanity. On that day when the Lord comes again and splits the heavens with his regal splendor, surrounded by all the holy angels and the sight of the saved rising to meet him in the air, is there any doubt that on that day the unrepentant, the unbelievers, the atheists in one voice will cry out as they see him descend, oh my God! Paul sums up the 10 questions of Romans chapter 10 with this warning. But as to Israel, he saith, all day long I spread out my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Ladies and gentlemen, the nailed, pierced hands of Jesus on the cross are the hands that are spread out to you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.